Our first, so we are going by the victims alphabetically by their last name. So our first victim that is being spoken of is Alyssa Alhadef, spoken by junior at Plymouth North High School, Emily Kelly.
Alyssa Alhadef was just 14 years old when she died. It goes without saying that she will always be remembered as a strong, courageous young girl whose life was taken far too soon. But I think it's important, too, to remember that she was so much more than her last few moments on Earth. Alyssa played soccer. She was an excellent player, passionate and excited. Her mother described her as full of sunshine. And needless to say, our world has gone dark without her and without the countless other victims of mass shootings in this country. Let us remember Alyssa not only as yet another life taken senselessly from her family, friends, and community, but also for the beautiful humanness that she contributed to our world. I am so sorry that she is not here anymore. I am so sorry that her family will have to live the rest of their lives without their little girl. I am so sorry that we will never get to see all the beauty that she could have added to the world. Beauty that she, and only she, could have contributed as the unique individual that she was. I only know that when change comes, Alyssa will have been a part of the reason why. Thank you.
Next, we have Scott Beagle, who is 35, spoken by junior at Plymouth South High School, Molly Smith-Pina.
I'm going to be reading a few quotes from the people who are close to Scott. He died shielding his students from a gunfire. He made the ultimate sacrifice to do what he so often effortlessly did, made the lives of other people better. Matt Hibbs, a close friend to Scott. He was a hero before he saved these lives. Just as many people who were talking about Scott would be calling him a hero if this didn't even occur. Obviously, this is a tragedy. His sister, Melissa. He was a geography teacher. He was a cross-country coach. He was a child camp counselor. He was a son, a brother, and a fiance. Scott Beagle, who was only 35 years old, is one of the many others who was killed in the Parkland shooting by the 19-year-old terrorist, one of the thousands of public shooting victims in the United States each year. We are here in support of people like Scott and to hopefully prevent anything from like this happening again. Thank you.
We now have Martin Anguiano, who was 14, spoken by freshman at Plymouth North High School, Lily Robertson.
Martin Duque Anguiano, age 14. Martin was a freshman at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. He was one of the 17 people killed in the Florida shooting. Martin was called Junior by his friends and family and was one of five kids. His siblings have posted how much they miss him, and I can only imagine the pain they must feel losing someone so important to them. He was the son of Mexican immigrant parents who came here so their children could have a better life. Martin was very liked by his peers and teachers. They described him as helpful and kind. Like many of us, Martin loved soccer and Star Wars. He also liked to play football for fun. He was a smart, funny, church-going kid who at times could be quiet. Martin was also active in our military. He was part of the JROTC, which stands for the U.S. Army Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps. The JROTC program and his fellow cadets presented him with a Medal of Heroism. Some other awards Martin was given were perfect attendance, leadership development, good conduct, and athleticism. From everything I've read about Martin, he sounds like a great person, kind, caring, and helpful. I never personally knew him, but I wish I had gotten the chance to meet him. Rest in peace, Martin. You are greatly missed by everyone.
We now have Nicholas Dorrit, who is 17, spoken by senior at Plymouth South High School, Maddie Hunt.
Nicholas Dorrit was a 17-year-old senior at Stoneman Douglas High School. His younger brother, Alexander, age 15, was also injured in the shooting but quickly recovered. Nicholas was leader of the swim team and had signed to continue swimming at the University of Indianapolis. He had dreams of swimming at the Olympics in 2020 in Tokyo. His family says he always believed he could accomplish anything if he tried his best. Friends of Nicholas described him as a very positive and cheerful person. He was always trying to encourage people to push themselves to the limit. He was described as a big brother figure, a leader in every way. He had a girlfriend, Daria, who he loved. And instead of flowers, Nicholas's family asked supporters to donate to the Swim for Nick Foundation. A lot of people looked up to Nicholas. He will be missed by many. He really influenced a lot of people, and I hope that we can really cherish him and what he did for us.
We now have Aaron Fees, who is 35, spoken by senior at Plymouth North High School, Joe Kelly.
How's it going, everybody?
It's always in the way.
So, Aaron Fees, he was a football coach, he was a security guard, and above all, he was a hero. This employee of Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School is just that, a hero. I'm sure many of you have heard of Aaron's heroics on the news. So on Valentine's Day, a little over a month ago, he threw himself in front of students to protect them from a firestorm of bullets. It's a fact that he saved lives. Because of him, mothers and fathers will be able to watch their children grow into adults. A number of people close to Fees said that they were not surprised of the actions by the beloved coach. People said that he always put himself second, and he made sure everyone else's needs were met before his own. Mr. Fees was also an extremely hard worker. He worked after school, he mowed lawns on the weekend. In today's world, we tend to look up to movie stars and professional athletes and throw around the word hero for those type of people. But it is people like Mr. Fees that make the world a better place. It is important that everyone here understands one thing. Mr. Fees did not die in vain. Just as soldiers die for the cause on the battlefield, Mr. Fees died for students at Stoneham Douglas and students everywhere, for that matter. Any gun laws that are put into place in the future, and make no mistake, they will be a result of the heroics of Mr. Fees. Every school shooting in the future that is prevented due to common sense gun laws will be because Mr. Fees and the 16 other victims of that horrible day. The same goes for the 13 people gunned down at Columbine, the 26 murdered at Sandy Hook, the 49 killed in Orlando, the 58 killed in Vegas, the great number of young African Americans who are gunned down every day without a sniff of media coverage, and a countless number of others lost to pointless gun violence. Not one single victim will have died for nothing, and that is because people like us all here gathered here today will forever demand change. And soon enough, we will be the ones in office enacting the gun laws. We will be the ones who focus more on saving lives and collecting money to finance our campaign. We will be the ones realizing that semi-automatics serve no other purpose but to kill scores of people. We will be the ones seeing gun control not as a political debate, but as an obvious defense mechanism against evil. Finally, we will be the ones making the world a better place. Speaking from a personal level now, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm just a kid. I'm a kid who sees lives being lost every day for no reason. And Mr. Fees, if you're listening up there, I just want you to know one thing. As you shielded bullets from those kids, you ignited a revolution, and for that we are thankful.
We now have Jamie Gutenberg, who was 14, spoken by Emily Moore.
Jamie Gutenberg was a 14-year-old girl who was a victim of the Parkland School shooting on February 14, 2018 at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. She was a daughter, a sister, and a friend to many. Jamie was a talented dancer with such a beautiful performance quality. She danced competitively and brought such a beautiful energy to the stage. She was a part of the Best Buddies program, a nonprofit organization dedicated to creating friendships for people with disabilities. Jamie also volunteered for a local organization called the Friendship Initiative, an organization that has programs for people with different disabilities. Jamie was known to be kind-hearted, energetic, unique, and funny. She had plans and goals for her life. She wanted to be a pediatric physical therapist, get married, and have kids. Jamie had a whole life ahead of her, but sadly that life was taken away from her on February 14th from an act of evil and hate on Valentine's Day, the National Day of Love. Something needs to change because these shootings should have never happened and need to stop happening. Jamie and all the victims of the school shootings will forever be in our hearts. Let's be the change we want to see in the world.
Yeah. We now have Chris Hickson, 49, who was spoken by senior at Plymouth South High School, Maggie Nichols, who is also one of our student organizers.
Chris Hickson was 49. Chris was the Parkland Athletic Director and a coach of 5 different sports: cross country, volleyball, wrestling, basketball, and track and field. When Chris was told that the lack of coaches for these sports would automatically result in discontinuation, he stood up and took over as coach for them all, at no cost. He did it for free because he wasn't eligible for extra pay, said Jeff Mordford, who is the assistant principal. Chris fought so bravely in Iraq, and the same pride that he showed for his country, he showed for his students. His wife even saying he had treated them like family. He loved his students and they loved him right back, even some of them thinking of him as a father figure. Chris was regularly known to be strolling around Stoneman Douglas in a golf cart, but on February 14th, there was no casual stroll. Instead, Chris Hickson used the golf cart to get to students to protect them. Unfortunately, while protecting his students, Chris's own life was taken from him. Chris is survived by his wife, Debbie, and 2 sons, Tommy, who is in the U.S. Marine Corps, and Corey, who is a special needs boy who is regularly seen with his father at Eagle sporting events. And he is also survived by his most cherished students, his wrestling team, of whom he was to coach at the district tournament the day after the shooting. Chris Hickson wasn't able to be there on the mat for his team or any team ever again, and this is why we need reform.
I'm gonna try to lower this so I can just have it. There we go. Sorry, wrong way. It's a little short, but I'm a little short, so it's okay. We now have Luke Hoyer, who's 15, and spoken by Emerson Shanahan Jewett.
Luke Hoyer was 15 years old. His parents didn't release a lot of information about him because he was 15 years old. What we know is that he was a freshman who loved basketball, chicken nuggets, candy, or really anything sweet, according to his sister. His family accounted him as a lucky, happy-go-lucky kid who never got upset. He was always smiling. His father said that Luke liked laughing, and that's how they want him to be remembered. So let's remember him that way instead of as a victim.
We now have Kara Laufran, who is 14, spoken by Shannon Fogarty, who is a senior at Plymouth South High School.
Can I take it off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hello. Okay. Kara was 14 years old when she was killed in her own high school. 1 week before her 15th birthday, a time to celebrate life, the unthinkable happened. When her mother, Denise, and father, Damien, located her brother, Liam, a senior at Stoneman Douglas High School, hours after the shooting, and realized Kara was not out of the school yet, they knew something was wrong. She was missing, and no one knew what happened to her until that night at 2 a.m., her parents got the call no parent wants to hear. Kara's aunt, Lindsay, informed the family that Kara's life was taken as a result of the horrific tragedy. Kara was a joyous and energetic teenager almost at the end of her freshman year. She was a phenomenal Irish step dancer at the Drake School of Irish Dance in South Florida. A passion she had since she was a little girl was now gone, but her legacy still lives on at her dance studio. Her classmates in dance studio described her as a beautiful soul and always had a smile on her face. And when she got an idea, she would just smile and smile. It was amazing. She was a one of a kind girl that loved the beach and just hanging out with her friends. Kara and the 16 other victims are the reason we are here today. We are marching for our lives so no more lives are lost in events like Parkland or Sandy Hook or Columbine. We are here to put an end to gun violence, to put our feet down and say enough is enough. America has progressed so much in the past month and we're not going to stop now. I thank you for your time today and hope you can all stand with us and say enough is enough. Yeah.
We now have Gina Montalto, who was 14, spoken by Plymouth South senior Lily Alvarez.
I'm a little tall, so I'm gonna do this. Okay. Gina Montalto. Most didn't hesitate to say a special girl when asked about Gina Montalto. A daughter, a top student, a Girl Scout, a Color Guard member. All taken away by a bullet. In all the news about her, there was always a comment on her infectious smile and a kind heart. She was the kind of girl who was friends with everybody. Now everyone mourns the loss of that infectious smile and a kind heart. She is gone because of a senseless act of violence. My heart breaks for the family and community because this young woman who was headed in such a bright direction has been taken from us much too soon. But she is remembered and her life is forever celebrated. Thank you.
We are now speaking for Joaquin Oliver, and I will be speaking for him. Joaquin Oliver, otherwise known by his nickname Guac, was 17 years old when he was shot and killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. He had strong bonds with his family and loved football, basketball, soccer, graffiti, and hip hop. Hundreds of people attending his funeral honored his passion by wearing sports jerseys. Families and friends described Joaquin as the most optimistic person you'll ever meet. He moved to the U.S. from Venezuela with his family when he was 3. He had just become a naturalized U.S. citizen last year. He was very proud of his Venezuelan roots, often promoting the national Venezuelan soccer team. He also was known to have participated in one of the South Florida protests against the Venezuelan president. Joaquin's love of basketball got national attention the week after the shooting when Miami Heat star Dwayne Wade found out via Twitter that Joaquin was buried in his jersey. Wade was so touched by the news, he dedicated the rest of his season to Joaquin and etched his name on his sneakers last week. Wade invited Joaquin's family to a game to honor him and afterwards gave his parents one of the Miami Vice jerseys that Joaquin wanted before he passed, along with specially made red basketball sneakers with his name on the strap and the Stoneman Douglas name and mascot on each shoe. Joaquin's family has started a new initiative called Change the Ref. Change the Ref is described on its website as a nonprofit which will give the kids of today the tools they need to be empowered to make the changes to critical issues that affect our nation through education, conversation, and activism. His father recalled his son angrily retweeting a story about the National Rifle Association fighting gun legislation 2 months before he was killed, and he used it as a launching off point to say that us kids are the leading cause. His father also painted a mural of Joaquin with "We Demand Change" printed next to it. We hope to make you proud. Hi again. So we have Elena Petty, who is 14, spoken by senior at Plymouth South High School, Mickey Larson.
Elena Petty was 14 years old and was part of her school's Junior Reserves Officers Training Corps, honored with the JROTC Heroism Medal at her funeral. She was a member of the Young Women's Association and volunteered after the devastation of Hurricane Irma, spending countless hours helping those in need. She was inspired by her faith to serve her country and those around her, and was a selfless, fun-loving, and energetic girl who her friends and family said was an amazing young lady, a sweet little angel who just wanted to be your friend. Elena wanted to give so much to this world, but was instead taken away. Now it's our turn to do what she can no longer do. We need to make a change so she can be more than just a memory. We need to make a change for all of us so we don't lose more people like Elena.
We will now have Meadow Pollock, who is 18, spoken by Plymouth South senior Carrie Marino.
Good afternoon. I want
wanted to first say thank you guys for being here and showing your support. It's really amazing what is going on here today. My name is Carrie Marino. I'm 18 years old, a student, senior, at Plymouth South High School. On June 2nd, I will be graduating with the senior class of 2018. Meadow Pollock was one of the 17 victims of the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. She was survived by her parents, Shara and Andrew, and her siblings, Huck and Hunter. Meadow was described as a girl who loved her family and friends and valued them very much. Her family characterized her as a confident, sassy girl with a smile like sunshine. She was 18 years old. A senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, preparing to graduate with the class of 2018 and planning to attend Lynn University in Florida in the fall. On the day of February 14th, all of those dreams and aspirations were thrown away at the hands of somebody else. Meadow's father, Andrew, has been a powerful voice throughout the movement, saying he will fight for her and that he knows that his princess is by his side every step of the way, saying, "I want to be the last father of a murdered child." The grieving father even outspokenly said to the president, "It should have been one school shooting and we should have ended it." Meadow's grandmother, Evelyn, who Meadow often talked about on social media, said this: "Grandparents are not supposed to bury grandchildren. That's not the way it works." I want to recall the similarities once again. Meadow was looking forward to the rest of her life as I'm doing today, preparing for graduation, ready to move on to the next chapter, and excited about the journey that she was going to be facing. The only difference is that my life wasn't taken away at the hands of somebody else for no reason at all. It could have just as easily been me or any one of us students standing here today. Andrew Pollock said, "I'm not listening. I'm not leaving it up to the president. I'm taking it into my own hands and with a lot of people behind me." Those people that are behind him are the people that I'm looking at right now. The people that are here today. Our generation has been experiencing these tragedies for our whole lives. And with this, I'm encouraged now more than ever that our generation will be the one to put an end to it.
We now have Helena Ramsey, who is 17, spoken by Ayala Dyan.
In Helena Ramsey's last moments, she was trying to protect her friend Samantha Grady, who was crouched next to her in the library, telling her to grab a book, which she could use as a shield. Samantha survived, but Helena did not. This is only one example of Helena's constant selflessness as confirmed by all who knew her. She was a deeply caring person who offered so much, including words of wisdom and encouragement to her friends and her classmates. She took in stray cats and cared for their kittens, up to 13 cats in total at one point. Of course, she had many wonderful qualities like her memorable sense of humor, her studiousness, her love of music, but the most important one and the one which we can all learn from going forward is her kindness. Losing Helena is tragic because the world is in desperate need of people with her compassion. In these times, we need people like her more than ever, ones who treat people with love, ones who help those around them in time of need. Her story has reminded me, and I hope all of us, that we ourselves can be those people. In fact, we need to be.
We now have Alex Schachter, who is 14, spoken by senior at Plymouth South High School, Quinn Woodworth.
Woo! Hello. So I have something written here, but I feel like I'm kind of just gonna say a lot. yes. Got it. So this is Alex. I wish I knew this kid because honestly, as soon as I read about him, I felt like we could be best friends. Of course, his picture is of him in his marching band uniform because marching band was his whole life. He was a good student, a loving son and brother, and a flourishing musician. Alex was only 14, a freshman in high school. He had participated in marching band, obviously, and his school orchestra. He really worked hard to make himself known in these large ensembles. His music teachers, as well as other mentors, believed that he had such a bright future in music. He even wanted to go to UConn as a freshman. He knew where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to UConn, just like his mom had, and get a degree in music. Despite his life being cut short, despite his life being cut short, his efforts did not go unnoticed. After learning of Alex's death, UConn had sent his family an official acceptance letter to the university for music and a note saying that Alex will always be remembered as an honorary Husky. I thought that was really sweet. I now want to read a poem that was written by Alex just a few weeks before he lost his life. It is titled, Life is Like a Roller Coaster. Life is like a roller coaster. It has some ups and downs. Sometimes you can take it slow or very fast. It may be hard to breathe at times, but you must have to push yourself and keep going. Your bar is your safety. It's like your family and friends. You hold on tight and don't let go. But sometimes you might throw your hands up because your friends and family will always be with you. Just like that bar keeping you safe at all times, it may be too much for you at times. The twists, the turns, the upside downs. But you get back up and keep chugging along. Eventually, it all comes to a stop. You won't know when or how, but you will know that it'll be time to get off and start anew. Life is like a roller coaster. Although we may be facing the twists and turns and upside downs right now as students in the wake of such terrible events, Alex would want us to keep pushing forward. Thank you.
We will now have Carmen Shentrup, who is 16, spoken by my sister, Kirsten McGraw.
Hi there. My name is Kirsten LeGros. I am 27 years old, and I came up through the Plymouth school system. I remember Columbine when I was in second grade, and I am being terrified to go to school. Now I'm terrified for my younger brother, Miles, every day. Florida school shooting victim Carmen Shentrup would have been 17 years old about a week after the shooting. Her classmates and survivors of the massacre marked her birthday by flooding the state capitol to demand stronger gun laws. She was a national merit finalist, but unfortunately the letter arrived in the mail the day after she passed. So hopefully she knows somewhere now that she was a national merit finalist. Her friends say she was going to change the world, but she doesn't have the chance to now. Carmen, a senior at Stoneman Douglas, was named a National Merit Scholarship semifinalist last year by the school's Eagle Eye, that was reported by the school's Eagle Eye blog. Carmen's funeral was a Tuesday and was one of five services that day. Her friend, and I'll end with this, says she was witty, smart, insightful, and the absolute sweetest.
We now have our last speaker for Peter Wang, who is 15, spoken by sophomore at Plymouth South High School, Ellie Gubbins.
Peter Wang, sorry. Peter Wang was 15 years old, going to Parkland Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. One morning, he woke up like it was any regular day. Today was different, though, because today was Valentine's Day, the day of spreading love and joy to everyone around him. His parents and peers described him as kind, always doing anything he could to make the people around him smile. Not only was this day Valentine's Day, it was the day he wasn't able to return home to his family and celebrate the day of love with them. The following day, he was supposed to celebrate Chinese New Year with his family. During the time of the shooting, his peers recall him opening the doors so that they were able to get out. He put others' needs before his own, resulting in him being shot. He had dreams of being a soldier and world-renowned chef, wanting to attend West Point Academy. He died wearing his junior recruit officer's training corps shirt. Wang also loved the life that he was living. In America, him and his siblings would have more opportunities for a better life. Sadly, that was stripped away from him as soon as a bullet hit his chest. He died a hero not only to his classmates, but to the country as a whole. He was buried with an Army Medal of Heroism with his coffin covered with an American flag.
I want to say thank you to all of our speakers and Lauren Garcia, who held all of the blown up pictures of our victims. It's really cold, so good job. Now we are going to transition to a more uplifting part of the rally, where we're going to highlight our student performances. So what we wanted to do here was to highlight the talents that every student possesses, that unfortunately 17 kids who had talents right in front of us were taken away from them unfairly. And I just want to point out that we are saying their names and everyone is saying their names, but when you go on the news, they're saying the shooter's name, and I don't care about his name. I don't care his story. I don't care about his name. He obtained his gun legally. That's all I need to know that this is why we're here. And so we are highlighting all of our students' talents that signed up to perform in memory of the kids who lost theirs. And now we will have Ellie Gubbins back up here to read some poetry.
My intent was to write a poem, but it kind of turned into a speech, so enjoy it either way. I am a member of the Generation Z, the generation where we adapted too quickly to gun violence in common places, places where we go every day to learn how to make this world better. I don't understand how we can live in the world where we have to decide between the rights of machines that do none other than to kill and injure, or the lives of teenagers, mere children. I've always grown up hearing that the children are the future, so why do we keep letting them die on account of people with weapons of war? Guns have absolutely no other purpose than to kill people. I'm always told by people older than me, you have a voice, use it, you can do anything you put your mind to. So why is it that when I'm using my voice and trying to make the world a better place, not only for my peers and myself, but for my future children, why is it that when I use my voice, people take it and try shoving it back down my throat, saying that I'm too young to know about this stuff anyways, when I'm the one living through it? I'm not trying to take your rights away, but why is it that I have to explain to you why you should care about other breathing human beings? I'm told that I will be taking away people's Second Amendment right by wanting you to fill out a few more papers and have a few more physical and mental tests so that you can have a gun, not take it away. When I explain this to them, they say they don't understand protests and rallies and just want the police to shut them down, saying that is taking away my First Amendment right. Yeah. Why do you want to take away my First Amendment right if I only want to slightly alter yours by taking away the accessories that make these weapons more dangerous than they were in the first place? Respect, respect existence or expect resistance, right? We're resisting bullets. We're resisting the people who don't care about us living. We're tired of dying. My parents and people who are older than me never had to live through the fear of going to school every day, not even sure if you were going to make it home. Older people never had to fear of any fire drill in the school. They never had to think it could be a trap set to walk out of class and look down the dark barrel of a gun. They never have to fear the sound of a door opening into a silent room because the only thing that's stopping them is a slab of wood. They never had to quickly think if you were supposed to hide or go on with your day because they weren't sure if they heard something pop the cap off of a water bottle in a hallway or if it was someone shooting inside the same building that they were supposed to feel safe in. We want gun violence to stop. We want all of these shootings to stop. I won't let anyone silence my voice anymore. We won't stay silent. We won't be another hashtag that everyone forgets within a week. We aren't a trend. We are the future, and we are bettering it for those who come after us. We are here, changing the future now.
Thank you so much, Ellie. So now we're gonna have Lily, who's gonna be singing Rise Up by Audra Day. Yeah.